Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. My name is Louis Mendez. This is the big match preview. On this week's show, we'll be looking back at Tuesday evening's 1-1 draw with Lincoln City at the Valley, and ahead up to Saturday's trip up to Bolton Wanderers. A very difficult run of fixtures coming up for the relegation threatened Addicts. Joining me to have those conversations, plus much, much more. First up, top right of the screen, Mr. Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
Yeah, I'm alright, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Sort of reasonably pleased that in a way, with a 20-minute spell at the end of a game, we stopped the rot. Still concerned that we haven't won in about 15 years. But yeah, I'm okay. Bottom of the screen there, a man who's finally put his Christmas tree away, is Mark Newby. How are you doing, Mark?
Yeah, I don't know. I might get it out again next week, see if it brings us any luck.
Yeah, well, it hasn't for the entire Christmas period, to be fair.
Blame me.
Yeah, so there we go. I noticed Mark's wearing his England rugby shirt, so won't be passing any comment on to Tom at this moment in time. So on this evening's show, as I said, we'll look back at the game with Lincoln. We'll hear the goals shortly. We'll also hear my post-match chat with the Addicts boss, Nathan Jones. We'll discuss the fact that George Dobson is still here. Obviously, on Sunday morning, we were discussing the fact that he was about to be off, but there was a late U-turn from the Addicts. So we'll talk a little bit about George still being here. Then we'll look ahead to Bolton. We've got a guest from Trotter Chatter. Ben's going to join us later on in the show. I think the team news will be particularly interesting for Bolton because it sounds like they're missing a couple of big hitters. And we'll hear from Nathan as well ahead of the game. Nathan Jones, not Nathan Miller. No one cares what he thinks about the game, of course. So good evening to everyone in the chat as well. All hell let loose is in there. Charlton fans in there saying good evening. David Evans, Keith, Sam, Martin, Dudley, Manuel, everyone, let us know what you make of Tuesday's game. Let us know your feelings ahead of Saturday as well. Any changes you'd like to see to the side? Is there a bit of a selection headache up top, I wonder, after what we've seen over the last few days? Let us know your thoughts on that. Before we hear the goals then, quickly, Tom, just sum up how you felt after that game against Lincoln. We were a goal down at half time, so it's now 20 games without a clean sheet. Rico Hackett on his return to the Valley, but Freddie Ladapo slammed home his first Addicts goal inside the final 20 to rescue a share of the spoils for us. Obviously, it means we are now, is it still 1 point above the relegation zone with 3 games in hand for Port Vale, 2 games in hand for Cheltenham as well, who aren't that much farther behind us. So Can't sit here and pretend we haven't still got problems because we've had a good 20 minutes, but the game itself?
Yeah, I think in answer to your first question, how did I feel kind of leaving the ground? I think encouraged. I saw people kind of saying you shouldn't be giving credit for effort and for running around and for getting back into a game. But I think, to be honest, with the side we've got and the run we're on, I don't know what more we can really expect from this group. I'm not saying that that is long-term what you want from a side, but at the moment, they're not giving us much else, are they? They're not giving us much quality. So to dig in, to work hard, to look like they actually had met each other before, and to get back into that game and take, I would have said, a decent point is encouraging. The table itself is terrifying still, and we've got a lot of work to do to move away from the relegation zone. But I was encouraged by what I saw. Obviously, things like Chuck's back, Pan back, were also good. But yeah, look, the reality is we're still down there and we've got a long way to go to be safe. So yeah, I was largely encouraged. I thought Lincoln, by the way, were awful. And given that I've seen Charlton at the Valley every time, because Charlton are always at the Valley, they are one of the worst sides I've seen down here. And compared to us, that's going some. But for them to be where they are and on the run they're on, it just goes again to my point I've made since day one, which is we should have been out of this league comfortably this year. But we're not. We're where we are. It's a point, as Nath would say, another point on the board, and we kick on and try and use that now to start to gain a bit of momentum.
There's still a good chance we could be out of this league at the end of it, Tom. Don't you worry about that. Let's have a listen back then to the goals from Charlton TV. As always, your commentators were Greg Stubley and Terry Smith.
And him. Now Hackett. Cuts inside Backinson. Forward run from Rowan's good. Rowan with the cross and Dobson's there to head, but only as far as Hackett controls. And Hackett will go for goal and finishes beyond Eisted. And against his former side, it's Hackett who gives Lincoln the lead.
Yeah, he jinked past on that left-hand side to create the space in the first place. Ball across then, not dealt with properly. A little touch from Hackett, drills it past Eisted afterwards. It's just that unconvincing header clear, which we've seen on a number of occasions. This time it's Dobson.
For Kamara, it's a good header as well, up towards Ladapo. Anike takes over. It's a touch, Anike. Ladapo into the edge of the area, gets the shot. Oh!
What a strike from Freddy Ladapo! Chucks Anike involved, little touch. Ladapo took it on his own. Edge of the penalty area, slams it home for the equaliser.
Oh, what a moment for Freddy Ladapo. Hasn't had a lot of joy since he's arrived in SC7, but that's a touch of class with that strike. Again, it's Anike in the initial build-up, getting to the ball, getting across O'Connor, and the rest is all down to Ladapo. It's a wonderful strike. Jensen gets a touch, but the power is too much, and Charlton were looking for a spark. They're looking way back in this game, and we thought it might take something good, and that's a wonderful strike. And suddenly the crowd has lifted. How vital could that goal be?
There we go. Cheers to the boys for the comms there, and to Glupup for recording, Mark. So it's now 14 games without a win. That's the longest run anyone's gone in League One on without a win this season. I've been told that if we make it 15, then that will equal Forest Green Rovers, who apparently have gone 15 at some point in League Two without a win this year. So we could potentially on Saturday have the longest winless run in the whole of the top four divisions, which is obviously problematic. I think coming away from it, I was still a bit, I'm only really concerned about points now, but seeing a lot of reaction on social media, I think people are taking a lot out of that last 25 minutes when, surprise, surprise, Chuks Anike's on the pitch, you know, Pan Kamara's on the pitch, Freddy Ladapo's actually playing, you know, and scoring. We started to look okay, and people are holding on to that as what might be what can get us out of this mess.
Well, it's true, because if you look at that strike force, and Tash summed it up when she said, you know, Anike and Ladapo in this division as a strike force is filth. It really is. And tactically, I just thought Nathan Jones got it right. He let May and Kanu run their defence all over, soften them up and tire them out. And he brought on a couple of big lumps who can hold on to the ball. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding with a goal which was put away. There were still, you know, signs from concern with mistakes we made. We got away with a couple. But I did think it did seem to be a bit of a mental change amongst the players. It seemed to be, when people talk about the effort they put in, it just seemed to be a non-stop effort. They're trying to concentrate the whole time. And I thought Anderson in midfield was energetic and people looked for the ball. I was quite impressed with the right back, Ramsey, until he went off injured. He seems to sort of like radiate enthusiasm and thinking himself, there were signs, and I can understand people coming away and saying, oh, no, this can help us. And it can. If you look at, if we manage for people with injuries and we can tactically, we've now got a manager who's tactically astute and can actually look at something and change it during the game. I mean, I don't think there were many people there when he was making a substitution would have thought Alfie would have come off, hand on heart. I don't think anyone would have said, you know, take Alfie off, because you're going to say, well, hold on, he's our top striker. But it was just the right thing to do at the time. And logically, you know, it can. My worry is we are running out of games to try and claw some points up and get up the table, and it does seem to be a small gap above us. So, and we have got some tough games coming up, but I don't think now we're going to look the soft touch we have done for the last, you know, 10 games, 15 games or so, where teams only had to turn up, look at us, and our confidence was straight down the gurgler. So it's a confidence thing, Nathan getting his ideas into them. So it's a combination of things. And I can understand people coming away from that game feeling positive. And I'm not going to knock that.
Yeah, that's fair. But also, I guess at the same time, Tom, I still harbour some concerns that we didn't create a great deal, particularly in the second half. Weirdly, like in the first half, like we had a couple of chances for Backinson, who he never really fancied to be the man to take them. Second half, obviously, we got the goal, which was a fantastic strike from Ladapo, which we'll add to. Maybe other than that, there was that one where Tanay Watson was played through, who had a surprisingly like good game on the wrong side. And then right again, Eden coming on and having a chance. It wasn't, in terms of going forward throughout the 90, the most fluid. But what did feel different in that second period was it did feel like we were putting them under more pressure when we did have that battering ram up there to try and cause a bit of chaos. I mean, don't forget, Lincoln have got the fourth best defence in the division outside of the top three. So maybe, hopefully, that played a part. But obviously, there will still be that fact that we are missing someone like Corey who can create chances out of nothing.
I think considering we've had games recently where it feels like we concede after the final whistle, like we just find any way to lose a game. The fact that I didn't, even when that 10 minutes went up, every game that's happened where we've had long periods, I think all of us are like, oh no, like that means we're going to concede in this. You think back to Northampton, Appleton's last game as a prime example, but I could have listed about 20 of them this season. I didn't feel in that 10 minutes like that. I felt like, okay, well, we're coming at them and we've got a chance to take this game to them rather than the other way around. And even though they had a couple of counters and sort of broke, we were tactical, you know, we hauled them down on the halfway line. We did whatever we had to do to secure that point. You mentioned Chucks there, and I think, yeah, his impact, although not quite the level of some of the games we saw in that period earlier in the season, it clearly made a big difference. And I think, look, it's the question everybody knows. If he stays fit, then the chance of us staying up is massively, massively increased. But you're right, we still didn't have a lot of shots on target. I think that Eden one right at the end was probably the best one of the lot that I can think of. But a bit like Mark said there, you know, May coming off was not only the right decision, but May has gone a long time without scoring now. You know, he can get the odd goal out of nothing, but, you know, he's not been brilliant. And I know he's been in a bad team, so I'm not for one second saying he deserves to be dragged off every week or anything like that. But, you know, you put Chucks and Ladapo in there, you freshen things up. We've now potentially got four strikers we can rotate. I know Chucks we're going to have to be careful with. And I think maybe things will start to click, but I agree, we're still a long way off doing that. So, lots of positives, but still plenty of things to work on. Defensively, the goal, you know, a little bit sloppy still. I didn't think Thomas was as good as he has been. So there were things to improve. But, yeah, Rome wasn't built in a day. I think Nath said pretty similar after the game. Problem is we haven't got a lot of time to turn this around. But, it was more positive than I expected when I was walking down for kickoff, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel says that Ladapo and Chucks could be an unreal partnership. And up until 20 minutes from time on Tuesday, you wouldn't have heard many Charlton fans really praising Freddie Ladapo that much. I mean, he got dropped. You can't get away from it. I think he spoke in his post-match interview about how he'd found it a bit confusing so far, his time. But we've been saying the whole time, I don't understand why he's been so bad, Mark, considering the pedigree he comes with. So hopefully that could be a bit of a turning point for him.
Oh, I hope so. I mean, obviously he loves scoring against us, so we want to transfer that so he can score against other teams. And when he took the ball off Chucks' toe, you know, he was having it. And it's funny because sitting right behind the goal, for both goals, I mean, Rico's goal was good. He really hit it well. But this one, as soon as he's hit it, we're looking and it's past the keeper. When I looked at a replay, I thought maybe the keeper could have probably got to that. But the power and as it went past the keeper, it wasn't. It was a great strike. And from that angle as well, sometimes you're thinking it cut it low. No, it was a great strike. I think you know, when he came to us, we thought he went straight in as the number one striker. Obviously, he wasn't fit enough. Obviously, Appleton didn't know really how to use him properly and didn't have the tools to get the best out of him. And Nathan's obviously looked at him and gone, right, this is your strength. You can come on. You can bully the tired defenders. Use your height. Use your size. And like Tom says, when it got to like with 10 minutes to go, the 10-minute board went up. I didn't feel, oh, this is one going in. I thought it was written in the stars, we're going to get a last-minute penalty and Chucks is going to pick the ball up and no one's going to get it off of him. I thought it was written in the stars for like a Hollywood finish. We didn't get that. But I think it's just a different kind of like mentality through the team. And I think them coming on, and you could see Chucks, you know, the effort and trying to get the team, you know, to kick on again. And it did. It transferred itself through. So, you know, I wouldn't be tempted, even though he scored, I still wouldn't be tempted to start Ladapo against Bolton. I'd still probably go with the same two up front and try the same tactic, see if it'll pay off for a second time.
Yeah, it's interesting, almost reference it as a bit of tactical genius, but in reality it's Nathan doing the only thing that's worked for a lot of our managers over the last few years, which is just waiting until Chooks and EK can come on. It's just remarkable the ability he has to change a game, you know, because that's when it was working for Michael Appleton. Don't forget, that's the hidden formula with this squad. Chooks and EK or Miles Leeburn off the bench makes things all right, and hopefully that will be what we can do in the running. Dean said, more encouraged after Tuesday, get the next three games. We have more than enough now with the players coming back to go on a run, playing teams in and around us and mid-table teams after that. Yeah, obviously the top three coming on soon. Sans asking if Ladapo and Chucks up top would work if May was as a number 10. See, that's why I think May would work superbly alongside Chucks and EK, because anything that gets played into his path, he'd feed off comfortably. Dan says, I thought Thomas was off, but Jones was solid. Yeah, I thought Lloyd Jones has had a couple of good games. I mean, Martin's been talking about the enthusiasm that Nathan Jones shows on the touchline. It's the first time to see him at the Valley. Tom, did you like the way he operates in and around the technical area and pretty much up to the edge of the centre circle, the amount of time he spends on the pitch?
Yeah, a bit of good acting, wasn't it, from Nathan there? But no, I think I can't remember if it was in the chat or if Mark said it or if I'd just seen it somewhere. But that catches on. I still go back to the fact that Appleton said it. And I know, Louis, you've said, you know, you only read so much into kind of touchline antics. But I think for the crowd feed off it, even if the players don't particularly. But I think these players do as well. These players are not very good and they need a lot of direction. And if you've got a little bloke there with his hands in his pockets, not telling you anything, you could see him every time it went out for a throw or a corner or something, he was moving people into the places he wanted them. Appleton never did that. So they just chose where they stood. And ultimately, more often than not, it was the wrong place. Some of them on the pitch being the wrong place. But with Nathan, you can see him telling people where to stand and basically guiding them through the game. And you'd hope players who are at this level of football don't need that. But to be honest, I think based on this season, they do. And of course, he's trying to do things slightly differently as well. So they're also learning him. But I genuinely do believe that plays a big part. And I know that stupid Ipswich 4-4 game was ridiculous and a bit of a one-off. But the way that Garner sort of galvanised the fans when he got sent off there, it contributed to the atmosphere. Of course, it didn't necessarily mean I knew we were going to go on to draw 4-4. But it made a difference to the crowd, and that home crowd's going to be important. As a couple of the people have said, once we get these next three games out of the way, we're playing a lot of teams around us and they're going to be scrappy and it's going to be a fight. It's not going to be a sexy game. You look at how many times Lincoln were just lumping it. We're going to have to deal with that. And if you've got a crowd who are behind you, you've got half a chance. If you haven't, it's going to be much harder. So, yeah, whether it's acting or whatever, I think it does have an effect. And I think it makes a bit of a difference. I don't think it's going to be the only difference, but I think it was encouraging and it's just refreshing to see a manager who's got that passion.
Yeah, I ran out of milk, says Pan Kamara, is a class above when he came on. James is joining us live from the States this evening and said, it didn't feel like, thank God, we got a goal when we scored. It felt like, let's go on and get a win, a definite difference in my eyes. And we did look the side more likely to do it. And like I say, when that Eden shot the second one got blocked and looped into the air. From my angle, it looked like someone had headed it over the keeper, so I actually thought it was going in, so I got very excited for a bit. Sam said, I thought we looked okay on Tuesday. If we can improve in the main factors of our game, we may get a result on Saturday. You mentioned him earlier, Mark. It was a full debut for Kane Ramsey coming in on the right. Yeah, what did you make of him before he went off injured?
I liked him. I did. I liked his desire. He wanted the ball. I thought he had a decent game. And, I mean, the thing is saying about Lincoln being a bad team, and they were, but what they managed to do is take the sting out of us. When we were really pressing, after about sort of like 75 to 80 minutes, and I thought to myself, you know, we were really building pressure, they managed to take the sting out by going down and rolling around and delaying the game, and then it was a bit of sort of like handbags going on. And it sort of like that drew sort of like the venom out of our attack a bit. And, you know, their goalkeeper was giving it a bit to the people in the lower north, saying, oh, it's going to be relegation after this. And so, but he made some good saves. But they managed what they had to do. I think they'll go back and go, you know what, that was a point earned by them. We may not think they deserve it. They'll think they've earned it. So, but they managed it well, which was disappointing, because it did seem like we had momentum and it was wave after wave. But no, I liked Ramsey. I thought Caroy did well, but it's a weird thing, because I was talking to my mate who was sitting next to me, and so we're watching it. I said Caroy was getting himself into some really good positions with no one near him and wasn't receiving the ball at all. And it's whether they weren't trusting him, or but he was making space, looking for the ball, making himself open. And then we were sort of like coming sideways, coming back, and he was making more space. And I did feel a bit for him, thinking, we're saying, like, why do they not trust him? But I don't know. With I liked his athleticism in the midfield. I thought, you know, Dobson, that was the one. Seeing Dobson out there, I think that lifted the crowd. Seeing Chuck's name on the team sheet on the subs bench also gave a bit of a lift. So I think it was almost okay, so that was Nathan's first home game. But I think there was a kind of like a palpable change you could feel from people when you looked at that team. Tanai on the left, I'm not Watson's biggest fan at all. Didn't think he did too badly on that side. I understand about Terrell. He got the ball, but he didn't really have an outlet. We had space on the wings, but we didn't really use it properly. So I think that was limiting us a bit by having our fullbacks not as advanced as they would normally be, or not having a winger on that side. Because I think there was space available, but everything seemed to be very concentrated in the middle. So it made it look like quite a scrappy game. And I think, we got away with one with Terrell when he headed the ball onto Caroy's back. And that was one of those ones which a couple of weeks ago, their guy would have swallowed it up and scored. Like, we, you know, we got away with that one, didn't get away with a second mistake. But no, I think there were positives. And like I say, I don't know, obviously, with his injury, whether they'll swap Ramsey back and put Eden on the left again and Tanai on the right. You know, obviously, I'd like to see a Simwe on the right over Watson. But because I think if playing Caroy, I think Caroy and the Simwe play well together, because they've got that history of playing together all through the youth. So
yeah. We'll see how that plays out. Dan's saying there were signs from that second half, but remember that was helped by the injury-prone Chooks and Kamara coming on. We can't rely on those two players. We need more from the rest. And that's why, I mean, if the game was turned on its head and we played that well for the first 20 minutes and that badly for the last 70 or 665, wherever the breakdown was, you know, we would have felt very differently about it. But that is how we're going to be now for the rest of the season, I think. I think we're going to try and stick in games, bring on the likes of Chooks, Kamara, whoever, Ladapo to try and get points, and that's what we'll be trying to do towards the end of games. Dean Chapman saying Jones played a typical League One team, big, strong, and bullied the opposition. We looked aggressive for the first time in ages. Right, let's have a listen then to what the Addicts boss had to say after the game. I spoke to Nathan Jones in the press room at the Valley. These are his thoughts on the 1-1 draw with Lincoln City. It's a point against Lincoln this evening. How did you see it?
I thought we were the better team. Second half, I thought we were outstanding. You know, I want us to play front-footed, be aggressive, athletic. tried to create chances, tried to take the game to the opposition, and we did that second half. And it's a young group, but everything I've asked of them, they've responded, and I thought we were excellent tonight. Yep, we'd have liked to have won the game. You know, I think they had one shot on target, which, you know, is tending to happen to this team at the minute. Things are going in, you know. But I thought we were excellent. I really do. And that's just only a start, and it's only a point, but I saw a lot tonight that I'm pleased with.
Yeah, and you look like one team that looked like they might have won it in that second half, and it felt like if he'd gone on another few minutes, that goal was coming.
Well, yeah, but look, we had 100 minutes to, or 101 minutes to win the game. What we got to do is, not every, at the minute, everything's going in, like people are scoring, you know, real good goals in terms of that. But if they keep that level of performance, that level of energy, that level of aggression in terms of everything, we'll win games, because we'll be very difficult to play against. And that's what's really pleasing, because Lincoln are in really good form. They're well coached, well drilled. They're aggressive. They got threats. But look, we were better tonight.
Yeah, it's only your second game, obviously. It's another game without a win, but you have to take the positives from that performance and hope they take that into Saturday.
Look, this won't just change overnight. Like, but what we have to do is we want to turn into the team that we want to turn into. Like, and we will turn into that team. Now, how quickly depends on the team, depends on everyone getting behind everything and that. Because these are a young group, you know. And I understand sometimes that we got booed off at half time. Like, come on, this is a young group. This is a young group that grafts and gives everything. Second half, we came out and gave them a performance that they should go home and thought, hang on, there's something happening here. So let's get behind this group, because it's a young group. It's an honest group. I can guarantee you. I've been in football 33 years, and the one thing about this group is it's honest. And that's all you can ask. They're honest, they're hard work. You look, see some of the performances tonight. Kanu, Caroy Anderson, these are young academy players that have come through. It could be something really, really good happening here.
Yeah, the reaction you got from the fans at full-time, I guess, showed that they saw what they wanted to see in that second period.
Absolutely. And I understand sometimes the frustrations, but, look, it's no God-given right just to win a game. You're not going to just roll over teams. You have to earn it. And they did in second half. And bear in mind, they had one shot. And it was a great strike. You know, and that's what's happening to this team at the minute. Things are going in, like, against them. And they showed character tonight to come back. They didn't let their heads drop. And they were excellent in the second half, you know, and people that came on, and people, performances, Dobson and Jones, and people were just excellent. And I'm really proud of that. And look, Kane as well made his debut for us tonight. Just got him in from Harrogate, you know, and just really, really, real good signs for going forward.
And the firepower you're able to bring off the bench as well is another good sign going into the end of the season.
Well, absolutely. And we made that, you know, calculated decision. Obviously, Chuck's gives you certain things, but Freddie hasn't scored in five. He started five games, hasn't scored, and then we pulled him yesterday and said, might try something different, you know, bring him off the bench. Game opens up a little bit more space, and what a decision that was.
Yeah, the man of the strike as well. I mean, we've seen him do that against Charlton a few times over the years, but that was a fantastic goal.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen him doing training yet, but he's done it today, so he kept it, so I'm happy. But look, really, really pleased tonight. Look, I want to win the game. We have to get better in possession in certain things. We have to, our execution has to be better. But I saw a side today that wants to graft for Charlton, and that's just all we can do is just do that start.
Chuck's coming off, as you said, was off the bench, was a massive improvement for you as well.
Absolutely. But, you know, he has real quality and know-how, and he did, and he gave us that impact, and thought we might nick it at the end and so on. But I have to look deeper than just a result and deeper than just second half, and thought, did we try the things I'm working on? Did we do everything I asked? And we were. And we were a really aggressive side tonight. We went after them, you know, in terms of stuff. And it's, and it's a young team. That's what you have to remember. It's a young, young team. So they're going to... they're going to make mistakes, but they're going to learn and learn from those mistakes, because we will debrief and show them what they did. And as long as they take them on board, then some of these are going to have some wonderful careers.
Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello fellow addicts, I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, the River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer, It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your match day routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. Just before the break there, we heard from the Addicts boss, Nathan Jones, after the draw with Lincoln City at the Valley. We're going to turn our attention to the Bolton game shortly. I just want to bring a couple of things to your attention. Well, one thing to your attention, then we'll talk about Dobbo, which obviously we've got to have that conversation as well. But you may have seen Tracy Leeburn tweeted a photo of herself with the players today. They've been generous in their donations towards the PSA testing event that's going to be at the Valley next week against Portsmouth. So it's testing PSA is sort of like a something to look out for in terms of prostate cancer. So Tracy's been raising money for that. The event next week, we'll see hundreds of people being tested at the Valley. So yeah, if you look on our Charlton Live Twitter page, I've just retweeted the details if you want to throw some money towards that event as well to help cover the costs, because it's something they've done for a few years down at the Valley now, and it's literally saved lives. So make sure you get involved with that, and well done to the players there for donating and standing alongside Tracy for the photo there. Those of you watching on YouTube, right, Tom, when we were talking on Sunday morning on the show, on Saturday evening, both myself and Richard were reporting a pretty well-known rumour at that point anyway, about George was set to jet off on the Monday to Hungary to sign for Fehervar, the Addicts skipper. Obviously a move that had been on the offing for a while. Then it got to Sunday morning, maybe about an hour after the show, and the Hungarian club released details that Charlton had actually pulled out of the deal at the very, very last minute. And George is now staying until the end of the season at least. So we've seen a photo of the Addicts skipper holding the Fehervar shirt, and they say he's going to join them at the end of the season in the summer, in July. Nathan Jones says he wants him to stay. So whether that's a pre-contract that you can either get out of or you can somehow pay your way out of, I'm not sure. But yeah, short term, first of all, I mean, it's great. We needed him. We saw that on Tuesday night.
Yeah, what a difference he makes. And I still find the whole thing absurd. I can't remember if I've been on a pod when we've spoken about him or not. I know obviously it wasn't on Sundays, but the whole thing to me is ridiculous. They've got their kind of 888 policy or whatever they're claiming to have, and if he doesn't fit in that, or doesn't fit in that in the position that he does, then we're doing some pretty good recruitment in the summer, as far as I'm concerned, for him to be down the pecking order, because I haven't got the stats in front of me, but I imagine he's in the top 10 across the league for a lot of those defensive midfield stats about interceptions, about tackles, about all of that sort of stuff. And to me, he seems to be the lifeblood of this team. I don't think he's the best player we've had down here for a long time. I'm not suggesting that for a second, but the passion he's got, he is a good player at this level, and the desire he's got. And again, this might be ridiculous because I know it's a short career and players will move if the offer's right, but he seems to really want to be here as well. And he seems to care about Charlton as much as a footballer does. So I find the whole thing bizarre. And if it is Scott or whoever in the ownership team or leadership team not thinking he's at the level or having a falling out or whatever, as I said on Tuesday night, swallow your pride if you've got any, and accept that you've made a mistake, because to my mind, we're a better team with Dobbo in it, and I can't see us making enough signings in the summer that I wouldn't say that again at the start of August when we kick off next season either. So I find it very, very strange. I'm delighted he's here still for the rest of this season, because a bit like Chucks, that might be the difference between League One and League Two next year.
Mark, I mean, Tom's referenced it there. Obviously, if you heard Nathan's comments, both on Monday before the game and then on Tuesday evening after the game, it does sound like he certainly had a very big part to play in that decision. Has he gone and overruled someone? You know, obviously these are questions we're asking about what's going on in the background that are never going to be answered. But that's the way it feels when you hear what Nathan had to say, that he's almost stepped in to make that decision. What does that say to you about sort of the, not the power struggle at the club, but how things are influenced behind the scenes at the club with the likes of the technical directors, sporting directors, whatever, and the manager now who's come in as manager and not head coach?
Well, I think it shows that we've got a manager who wants to manage and coach and isn't happy just to go, okay, then you just tell me which players I've got and I'll just do my best with them. It's a manager who's looked at our team and gone, right, what are we missing in the midfield? Right, we need someone who's going to be workman, who's going to do almost a role. We've talked about it before with Dobbo. He almost does sort of like three people's job across midfield. And so towards the end of a game, and he's sprinted back and made a good block on one of the Lincoln players, and you're thinking, and that's what it shows to have a player like that, because you know you could name half a dozen of the midfielders we've got at the moment, or even the one who went up to Scotland. Would they have sprinted back and made that block? No, of course they wouldn't. You know, and we would have been looking down the barrel of a 2-1 loss. He obviously didn't let it beat himself up over it. It was his mistake for their goal. But for what he brings to the team, I think you've got to look at it and say, yeah, we need Nathan Jones to go to whoever he's got the ear of and say, look, this is what you need to offer him to stay, and he will stay. And we can build a midfield around him, and it'll be a good midfield. I think I agree with Tom. I think if you wonder who they're thinking would come in and replace him and do that job, oh yeah, it's a crazy one. So you're hopefully Nathan's his own man, and he's got a conviction, and I think it shows in a way he's on the sidelines, and I think it probably will show in a way he's dealing with the people above him to say, this is what we need. You know, if you want to let him go, fine. You know, wherever you got a map to Grimsby and places like that for next season.
Sid, who to be fair is Dobbo's number one fan, said, I think Dobbo will stay. If we offer him another contract that includes the money he wants and the years he deserves, he will stay. Dobbo loves the club. He doesn't want to leave, she adds. On Tuesday night, I saw the desire in his eyes when I asked him to sign. He said, I'm really trying to me. I'm very hopeful. That's good news. I'd love it if he could stay. Dave saying that Dobbo and Charlton is a good fit. Claire pointing out that he made a massive difference. Thank God for Nathan Jones. The whole thing was ridiculous as well. All hell let loose, saying Dobbo is the new Jacko. Excellent. Right, let's turn our attention to Saturday, shall we? Heading up to Bolton Wanderers in the first of our three fixtures against sides in the top three of the division. There's loads of really good team chat in the comments here, so I'm almost making a mental note to come back to some of them, the likes of Coventry and Louis Watson missing out, and obviously Alfie May's form. So we'll talk about that later. But let's bring in Ben from Trotter Chatter, the number one rated Bolton podcast. I'm sure they'll tell me to tell us all about Ian Everett's side. Ben, how you doing? All right?
Not doing too bad, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad at all. How's the season gone? If that's not too easy of a question, because it's going better than ours, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean it's hard to really argue third place with a few games in hand. It feels weird though. I feel like a few people would still say we should be doing better than we are. There's been a few silly losses in there, like lost to Reading early on, lost to Bristol Rovers around Christmas, like games we should have won. But given your guys' situation, it feels a bit disingenuous to start saying it's not going well. I can't really complain. It's like it's little things, but I mean, third division at this point of the season, it's you're not going to turn it down.
You're not the first team who've been on this show who are up there and are still saying they should be doing better. So, and I think there's an argument some of us would say we could be doing worse. So we're very much at the other end. But You mentioned it's little things there. What sort of stuff is it? Because we've been saying, and obviously we look stupid for saying this now, that it's not a very good standard of league. So I think a bit like you, we kind of expected to not run away with it against the likes of you and Pompey necessarily, but I thought there'd be a group of us way above everybody else. Is that what it is for you guys? Is that what you're finding frustrating, that you should just be secure in that top two by now?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, these smaller losses, like, one of the Bolton's biggest things is against, I don't mean to sound harsh, teams in Charlton's position. We don't always turn up. We sometimes take it a bit for granted. I think the way we play, trying to keep the ball very secure, doesn't necessarily lend itself to the games where we should really be looking to press a team, looking to sort of put teams to the sword. But I think, if you ask a lot of Bolton fans, we'd sort of say we should be up about where Pompey are at the minute, points-wise. Like, I agree. I think it's a much weaker division than last year's. I think Ipswich obviously showing how well they're doing in the Championship now. I think pre-season we all sort of expected, or I don't want to say demanded, but promotion was definitely the aim. And it's just these small things where I feel like we could be top now, but it is these games where we're going into it and it's almost like we're not wanting the win as much as the other teams.
Hey, Ben, two questions. First of all, how high did you raise your eyebrows when you found your stadium was going to be called the Tough Sheet Stadium?
I mean, you know, they're a local business. They're putting money in the club. It could have had a better name, but I'd say it could be worse. It probably could. I just don't know what they have to call it.
Yeah, just joking with it. So you go up for next season. Would you say you would need to bring in a handful of players, or do you think you'd have to almost bring in a new team to battle in the Championship and not be a yo-yo?
I think I'd say somewhere in between. Like, we've got a few players that I think could definitely make the step up. So, Ricardo Santos, our captain, I think he could definitely play in the Championship. Luckily for you, he's injured at the minute, so you don't have to worry about him. Josh Sheehan is our number eight. The way he dictates the game, I think the way we play could be potentially more suited to the Championship than League One. There's a lot of football, sort of anti-football teams, just sort of come into, potentially just because of where we are in the league and the way we play, just coming to stall the game out, see if they can nick a goal and just frustrate us. Like, I think it was Cheltenham last season with time wasting from the second minute. It's taken about 30 seconds for someone to even go and take a corner, like, let alone actually play football. We still definitely need some signings. Like, there's some positions that I'd be a bit sceptical about if we didn't strengthen them if we go up. But I think we're reasonably well suited. Like, we'd need to put a bit of money in to stop us being in a position where we could be like Sheffield Wednesday are this season.
How are you going to get on then without? So you've got a bit of an injury list. You know, you mentioned Santos, who always plays well. Dion Charles is out now.
Yeah.
It's looking like Baxter's out. George Tomasson is suspended. So how do you think you will handle sort of that spine of your team being ripped out? Because, I mean, in Dion Charles, actually top scorer, in Santos, he's one of the best defenders in League One. So what's your backup like? Are they as bad as ours?
They're not too bad. To be fair, with Dion Charles, we've just signed Aaron Collins from Bristol Rovers. So, yeah, it's not a bad backup to have on the bench. But in terms of Baxter being out, our keeper Coleman is not as bad as other backups we've had. We've had some that didn't know whether on goal line was, but I'm definitely not as confident with him in goal. And then we've signed Caleb Taylor on loan from West Brom, who's sort of a centre-back cover for Santos, who Cheltenham rated him very highly last season, but also Cheltenham weren't as high up as we are right now. So it's definitely a weaker team. And then Thomason, the way he's going, he's going to be suspended for more of the season than he's played. The midfield's probably the strongest part of our team. So with him being out, I'm not necessarily too worried, to be honest.
Well, there we go. Well, thanks for the update, Ben. I'm feeling a lot more confident than I was about 6 o'clock this evening before someone sent me all that Bolton team news. So hopefully we'll be able to take advantage of that. But I'm not making any promises because we always lose against you lot.
Well, best of luck regardless. Not too much, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, cheers. Right, Ben, thanks for joining us. Good to have you on. And may the best team win on Saturday, as long as it turns out to be us somehow. See you later. There we go. That's Ben from Trotter Chatter, who's bringing us the good news that half their squad is out injured or suspended, which means we will have a chance. But it is a very, very good Bolton side we're playing on Saturday. Let's hear the Addicts boss then look ahead to it. Then we'll discuss it ourselves. This is what Nathan Jones said when speaking earlier on this afternoon, looking ahead to Saturday's game at Bolton.
Turned to the squad on Tuesday. How did he come through the game?
Yeah, fine. No problem at all.
And any fresh injury concerns following Tuesday's game?
Well, look, we had to replace sort of Kane Ramsey, so we'll assess in him, see how he is, and then we'll know more in the coming days.
And Bolton and the opposition come into the game in good form. What sort of test will they pose?
Well, an excellent one. They're, you know, right up the top. They're going for automatic promotion. They're, but a manager's been there a few years, so they're well-drilled, know what they're doing. They've been promoted from League Two. They've had a little bit of continuity in everything last year. So they're a really, really good side. So it's at the toughest test, you know. They know what they're doing. We have to travel there and make sure we are the best version of us. Otherwise, you know, it'll be a tough, tough game.
And you mentioned that stability they've had over a period of time. How's that helped them build to where they are?
Well, this is exactly what's helped them. You know, if any manager that's been there over a period of time helps you to build something. So, you know, he's an excellent manager, done really well at that football club. As I said, got him promoted. I think they were a bit unfortunate last year, and now they've shown they're stronger again. So they've improved, you know, year in, year out, and the stability they've got has really helped that.
And the crowd really played their part in that second half on Tuesday. How will they help again on Saturday against Bolton?
Well, they will, however many travel. You know, any support we get is vital. You know, we're going up to a place that's tough. There'll be a decent crowd there. It's a team that's playing well, that knows what they're doing. So, you know, we're going to have to be, as a football club, the best version of ourselves.
Hi, Nathan. Just in terms of Bolton, first of all, they've got the best home league record in the league. What do you admire about them? How much do you kind of worry about what the opposition do compared to what you do on a match day?
We don't worry about it. What we do is make sure that we know opposition strengths and things, but we also have to have a real big emphasis on what we do, and that's what we have to do. We have to now build something where we implement our style on people, and that's the focus. That's what we have to build, and that's what we have to do. Look, Bolton are a side, as you said, has been at real continuity over the years and tried to implement their style on a football game. That's what happens with time. For me, I want us to go out and to know people's strengths, to be able to combat that, but also then to impose our strengths on them.
You know, it's been there a long time as well, and that longevity obviously can count for a lot. You can build something, can't you?
Well, exactly. That's what does ultimately. Time, if you get results, you buy time, and time buys good work or produces good work, and that's just the way of the nature of the beast.
We took some EK, so good to see him back. The crowd were lifted straight away when he came on, and even warming up. Do you expect, I guess the plan is hopefully Chucks will at least be an option for you for more and more minutes as you go along between now and the end of the season. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, we want everyone to be fit and available, you know, not just Chucks. It's not just about Chucks, it's about everyone. We've had some people out, Kamara's back, you know, we've hopefully Heck won't be long, and then we've got real strength to choose from. But we're going to demand from them, you know, they put in a big shift the other night, so, you know, we're going to prepare well to go into Bolton and to prepare really well for a tough game.
I don't know if I can ask you just quickly about Terry Taylor. A little while back, he was back playing games, sort of beginning to get his fitness back up. And whereabouts just roughly is he? Is he still okay?
Yeah, he's fine. He's back fit and training well.
Okay. And you said with Kane, you're going to wait and see. Is it a hamstring issue or was it cramp or what was the...
Well, we're waiting to find out. He's just had a really stiff hamstring, so we're waiting on scan results to find out if it's just stiffness or if there were any kind of damage. And that's that, you know, that's we've assessed that yesterday and now I'm just waiting on results.
There we go, that's Nathan Jones looking ahead to the game with Bolton, giving us a bit of a team news update as well. There came Ramsey. We're still waiting to find out the extent of his injury, which will be a concern, of course, Tom. So there's a few things I noted down on my notes after looking at the team news myself. So one bit that was maybe not the place you thought I would start, but Jake said it in the chat as well, said he thought it might have been a statement from Nathan Jones to send a signal to the prima donnas, Louis Watson and Coventry were dreadful at Reading, and I hope to see them back for Bolton. So those two were both out of the squad. A lot of people saw them just doing their running before the game. That tends to be what happens when you're not in the squad but also not injured. You're just out there just getting some laps in. So there was no injury for them or anything like that. They just weren't in the side. So in that middle of the park, is that an area of the team you were surprised to see those two not involved with, you know, Anderson playing instead? Is that something you'd like to see change for Saturday, or were you happy with how that worked out, Tom?
I was surprised. I was surprised Dobbo was back in, given everything that had happened over the weekend. I was certainly surprised Caroy started, but as Mark said earlier, and a few people have, I thought actually he did pretty well, and that was one of his better games. The only one I wasn't really surprised was in there was Backinson, and I thought he was awful. Yeah, largely I was surprised by how we shaped up. I haven't been impressed with Coventry so far, but obviously it's very early days and he's a young player, so I'm not going to get on his back. I wasn't at Reading, sadly, but from the sound of it, Louis Watson wasn't brilliant, and that's really disappointing because I have been impressed with him when I've seen him. So, no, largely I'm not surprised at the changes. I was surprised at the changes he made, but I think it kind of made sense at the same time. So, I think as a lot of people are in the chat there, it's really hard to tell what he's going to do. If it was me, just based on Tuesday night, Backinson would be coming out because I just didn't think he was very good. And Anderson maybe just to protect him, not because he did anything wrong. But then the question is, you know, people keep talking about us not being a 3-5-2 side and wanting to try and play the diamond. He's obviously held off for a little bit, but has there been time? You'd imagine not in the past few days to switch to that. And if you do, then you're looking at a whole list as well. So, yeah, I think there will be changes in there because he's trying to work out what his best 11 is and he probably hasn't had enough time to figure that out yet. Who it's going to be is anybody's guess, as everybody's saying. But I wouldn't be surprised if there was further changes again ahead of Saturday.
Yeah, Spamfist saying he'd like to see Connor Coventry coming in for Tyreek Backinson, keep Caroy in the side. Johan says that Anderson is a central defensive midfielder, not an offensive one. Yeah, Andrew's saying we need to keep the ball better against Bolton. Paul's saying, I predict it won't be tough sheet for us. A boring game and a streaky 3 points. Come on, you Reds. Yeah, it's the tough sheet stadium, as Mark mentioned there to Ben. It's I'm definitely going to slip up over that at some point over the weekend, so that'll be embarrassing. Moses has emailed saying, I know the team aren't playing the level we expect from Cheltenham in League One, but the fans need to stick with them until the end of the season to help keep us up. Any points from the next three are a bonus. Then we need to go on a run against those teams around us. So, have you set a target for these three games, Mark? I mean, it is the top three in the division, two of which are away. We've won one game away all season. What we can't see these as free hits because we're into the last, what are we on now, 15, 14 games left of the season. So we can't see them as free hits. But at the same time, we can't go into it thinking, right, 9 points coming up, that'll see us home.
No, I had my fingers burned at Christmas. In our show we did before Christmas, looking at those four games and the way we think planning it on a four game thing, you can't look at it like that in every shape. It's literally just going to be next game, next game, next game, and not think, oh, maybe if we can get a point here and then 3 points fair. It's literally going to be look at Bolton, don't look at anybody else who we play afterwards. It makes no odds. It's one result at a time. It's as literally as simple as that, because you start thinking, oh, it's okay, because we lose this and we've got them to play. The way we've played, we've been beaten by some god-awful teams this season. And, you know, you've turned up thinking, well, we should get something here. We should get something here. Or we should get a point or 3 points, whatever. And we haven't. So it's absolutely, you know, absolute dross in this league, and we've been beaten by absolute dross because we've been absolute dross. So one game at a time, look at Bolton, see where you are after that. Possibly, I'm thinking Ramsey's not going to be back. So that's for thinking, do you put a Simwee in there, like I said, or maybe Eden on that side and put Terrell out on the left? It's he's got options. So I agree, Bakenson, I wouldn't even put on the coach. I've seen nothing about him. I wouldn't start Pan, obviously. I don't think he's fit enough to start. So I think if Louis Watson comes in with Dobbo, I think the two of them actually work well together. I think possibly the game Watson came in against Reading with Coventry and it didn't work out because some players just can't play together as well. So, and I think when I've seen Watson alongside Dobbo, they've looked, you know, pretty good together. And, you know, like Ben was saying, they've got a guy in midfield who likes to dictate play. But that's why I'd probably keep Kiroi and say to Kiroi, right, your job is like Kerbs used to do with Keith Jones. Give him someone to man mark, and Keith Jones would man mark the life out of them and not give them the opportunity to dictate a game, and say to Kiroi, right, wherever this guy goes, you go with him. I want you closer than his shadow. You know, if he goes off the pitch for a wee, you go with him. So it's that kind of tactical thing. So, you know, you can't change it too much, but one game at a time is the only way I would look at it.
Yeah, I mean, Sam put in the chat saying, I can't believe after signing 100 midfielders, we've gone back to playing Anderson. He's got loads of enthusiasm, but not quite ready yet. Obviously, the other part of the pitch, we need to talk about strikers now. So as Jake points out, it's 1-11 for Alfie May. He'll start scoring if we play him in that deeper 10 role. If we leave him as a number 9, I've got no hope. So when he was playing up alongside Dan in obviously the first hour or so against Lincoln on Tuesday, we weren't getting the ball that near to him. When Chooks came on, and if he was still up there, I imagine we would have got the ball a bit nearer to him. So again, there was a suggestion in the chat about maybe bringing Alfie off the bench or bringing someone else to start and then Alfie playing alongside them. I mean, there's choices to be made there. No one's going to suggest we start Chooks and EK, so let's just rule that out unless they got a death wish for this football club. So Ladapo, Kanu, May, anyone else? How do you sort of mould that front, assuming it's a front two, Tom, with a 10 behind them? How do you fit everyone into these positions?
I'd start Chooks and EK. No, I'm joking. I'd... To be honest, I think you can't drop May. I know I said that it was the right decision to bring him off, but he's got to be in that starting lineup because, as you said earlier, like he'll just get a chance out of nothing and it will come back. I like the idea of him in a 10 behind Ladapo and Kanu. I think maybe that would work. I know there's two then relatively big guys up front, but we have to remember that, you know, Deion Charles is obviously a very, very good player and loves a goal, but for me, Santos is the bigger miss for them, certainly against us, because I can't remember a Bolton game we've had where he hasn't been man of the match. He just is outstanding against us every single time. So with him gone, if we do get a couple of players who've got a bit of pace, who got a bit of strength in them, I think that maybe they can do something. And with May in behind in that number 10, then you've got three potential goal scorers there. I quite like Ladapo coming off the bench. That's the problem. And if that's the case, like you say, you can't start Chuck. So then you have to probably go with May and Kanu up front, which is, it, as you said, didn't really work. But if you've got all three of them on the pitch and you've still got Chucks to come off the bench, you've still got the likes of Tyrese to come off the bench wide, I still think it gives us options if we are behind going into that second period. So that would maybe be the way to do it. If you are playing two up front, which I do want, I think possibly that would work. But again, it's Nathan Jones. He seems to be changing things up, so we'll probably see Terry Taylor up there or something. So, yeah, let's wait and see. But that would probably be where I'd go, I think.
Yeah, Dan says, agree, May in the 10 behind Kanu and Ladapo. Jake says, I'd agree with Tom on that. If when Ladapo's fitness improves for now, I'd stick with May behind Kanu. Yeah, Dave saying that Alfie needs to go. He'll be fine. Again, he hasn't had many chances. People saying he was getting frustrated on Tuesday, and they found that frustrating themselves, but when you're a goal getter like Alfie and we've just cut the delivery into the area away from that side, I can understand why I'd be frustrated. Plus he has very high standards, Alfie. You can see he's a proper proper 100%er, which, again, there's been a lot of players over the years we haven't had. All hell let loose, and maybe Terry Taylor in midfield for Bolton. I don't know if I'm reading it differently, but Nathan didn't sound like massively infused for Terry Taylor when he didn't give much away when he was asked by Richard. So yeah, we'll see. Right, I think we've run out of time on this week's big match preview. Everyone ignore the spam in the chat trying to get you to send them money. That's not from us. There's someone claiming to have run out of gas in the chat, so I'll block that person. So yeah, don't send them money. Send us money if you want, and send it to Tom. Yeah, we've run out of time. This has been the big match preview. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to everyone who's joined us live in the chat. Thanks also to Ben from Trotter Chatter, who joined us earlier. Massive thanks to Tom and to Mark, as always. Good to speak to you two.
Cheers, lads, mate. Cheers.
Good stuff. So we'll be back on Sunday morning with a reaction to that game up at Bolton. Look forward to speaking to you then. But I'm Louis Mendes. This has been Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Insulation. We'll see you again on Sunday morning.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.